Woohoo! Okay, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. You know, one of the things I always think about is whenever I have to deal with anything or when I'm studying anything, is I always want to know what Jesus Christ says about that thing. Now, you have to take into consideration that he's in the administration before grace and who he was sent to. He was sent to Israel. And, you know, and sometimes he's speaking to Pharisees or Sadducees or whoever. So we're going to look at something here. We're going to look in a little part of the Sermon on the Mount, just a tinge of it. And he talks about hunger. So in chapter 5, verse 6, he says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." So, of course, he's speaking to people, and he says, the hunger for righteousness. And the word hunger there is a Greek word. It means to hunger for, to suffer hunger, or to long for. You ever long for something? Have a great desire for something? And so it can mean that word too, to have a strong desire. So it can be used literally, that word, you know, hungry for food, or it can be used figuratively. And here it means to long for, not for food, but for righteousness. We use this a lot of times in our everyday speech, right? We think about, man, I really hunger for a good movie, or I'm hungry for a fun time, or, you know, I thirst for something. You know, we use those terms and we don't even think about it because we know what we're talking about. So here he says, they hunger and thirst, and the word thirst is similar, and there's some many times used together idiomatically. You know, it's a figure of speech, it's an idiom, meaning you strongly desire for something. So let's go back to verse 1 and get the context of this. And it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he," referring to Jesus Christ, "went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him." So there were multitudes. He was in a flat place, and the multitudes came, and they were there. But his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, his disciples. He's not speaking to the whole multitude. He's not speaking to the general population, because they really weren't there to hear what he had to say. They were there for the event. You know, like sometimes people go to hear people speak or people entertain, and they don't really care. They're just there for the event, because they could say, "I was there," right? So he's speaking to his disciples. And he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." And to be poor here means humble in spirit, mean receptive to God's word. And it says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Again, you know, meek to receive God's word. And then it says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." So he's speaking to the disciples, and he's telling them these things. He says, "Blessed are they that strongly desire." And in this case, it's the Old Testament. So what's it talking about? Well, how to live according to God's word. In that case, they were to live by the law. How to live righteously would be to live by the law, or to live rightly or justly according to the standards of God's word. Right? That's what it would have to be. He says, so that's what he's talking about here, about God's standard. They are to live rightly or justly according to God's standard. And then it goes on, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So he goes through all these things. Now this is, again, the Sermon on the Mount. And I want you to go to 2 Timothy, because again, it talks about this for us, how to live rightly or justly. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we all know these verses, but 3 of 2 Timothy, it says in verse 16, all scripture without exception. All scripture is given by inspiration of God or God breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, which is or for instruction in righteousness. Is instruction in how to live rightly or justly according to God's standards. So again, that's how righteousness is used here. So we, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus Christ spoke about hunger and thirsting for righteousness, you know, which is a good thing, right? Blessed. And the word blessed means happy there. Happy are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, how to live rightly or according to God's word. So that would indicate that, you know, it's a good thing to do your best to really have a desire to live according to God's word, according to what his standards are. So let's go to Luke chapter 6. Luke, the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 6, and we're going to begin with verse 17. Now, this is interesting because sometimes people confuse this with the Sermon on the Mount because it's very similar in some of the things he says, but it's not the Sermon on the Mount, okay? Because in the first verse we read, and he came down with them, with his disciples, with his apostles. Actually, it's right after he named the 12 apostles. And he stood in the plain. See, and the other one, he went where? Up on the mountain. Here he came down into the plain. And the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. You know, at this point, you know, he's pretty well known. And so people come from all over because they want to get healed. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. You know, I guess probably that whole second part of the verse should continue on in verse 18. You know, it says they came from Jerusalem and Judea and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all. And the word virtue there is power, right? Power. And that same phrase is used when the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of his garment, right? And it says, and power went out of him. Or virtue went out of him. Verse 20, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, so who's he talking to? His disciples, the people that believed on him, the people that were his followers. A disciple in the Gospels and in the beginning of Acts is a disciplined follower of a teacher or a teaching. That's technically what it means. It's a follower, a disciplined follower of a teacher or a teaching. Now, it's kind of interesting because about halfway through the book of Acts, I don't remember exactly where, what chapter, the word disciple is never used again. It's never used in the church epistles. Never talks about the believers being disciples. It talks about them being children, sons, and it talks about them being doulos, committed servants. but it never talks about being disciples. So you can draw your own conclusions of that, but anyway. So here he's talking to his disciples. It's in the gospel period. And he said, "Blessed are ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Similar to what he said in Matthew, right? "Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh." So it's not the same record. He's on the flat ground. He's speaking to his disciples, and he says, "Blessed are ye that hunger." Hunger for what? Doesn't tell us, does it?
Right.
It doesn't tell us. He says, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh." And then it goes on and says about other things. But, you know, here it's in the context of his disciples, you know, that follow him, that are eager to learn his teachings. And so what would they be hungering for? A knowledge of God's word, right? They want to know about God, and they want to know what Jesus Christ had to teach them. And one of the things he taught a lot about was the kingdom of God, right? How to be part of the kingdom of God. So now let's go back to chapter 4. Chapter 4 of Luke. Because Jesus Christ again speaks about hunger. Okay? And verse 1, it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." This is after he was baptized with Holy Spirit by John in the River Jordan. You know, the Spirit came down upon him like as of a dove, right? And then it says, the Spirit led him in the wilderness. And he was there for 40 days, verse 2, being 40 days tempted of the devil. You know, there's only two people in the Bible that were directly tempted by the devil, right? Jesus Christ and Adam, or Eve, actually. Eve. And so here Jesus Christ is tempted of the devil. "And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, the 40 days, he afterward hungered." Now this is talking about what? Physical hunger, right? Because it's talking about he didn't eat for 40 days. If you didn't eat for 40 hours, right? I mean, if I go 40 minutes, I'm hungry usually. But he went 40 days. 40 days is a long time to go without food. Now, he must have had water. We know he had to have water because you can't live without water. You know, if you go a couple of days without water, your body starts to shut down. So he had water, but he did not have food. "And the devil," verse 3, "said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." Wow, that's a pretty, you know, pretty interesting temptation. You know, if you're really the Son of God, you know, Satan tempts us all the time with, you know, questioning our sonship with God. He does, you know, why would God do that for you? Who are you? Right? Or you condemn yourself about something. But, you know, God loves us. He has given us proof that we are his children. He gave Jesus Christ proof. Put his Spirit upon him. He did many things to prove to Jesus Christ that he was his son. He was convinced of it. As should we be, because we can speak in tongues, because we know the word of God. So he says, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written. How does he answer him? It is written, right? The scriptures. What scriptures did Jesus Christ know?
The Old Testament.
This particular case, it has to do with Deuteronomy, which we could look at in a second. It says, Jesus answered, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You know, before he talked about blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. We saw in Timothy that the word of God is given for doctrine, reproof, and correction, which is instruction in righteousness, how to live by the standards of God. Here he says, man shall not live by bread alone. He was hungry, but more importantly, he wanted to serve God, and he wanted to live by God's standards. So he says, man does not live by bread alone. You know, when you think about that, you do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. Now, we have many hungers in life. You know, we hunger and thirst for love. We hunger and thirst for comfort. We hunger and thirst for all kinds of things. But what's the answer? What's our real food? What's our spiritual food? What's our emotional food? What really takes care of all those hungers and thirsts in a real way, in a true way? It's God's word. That's what makes the difference. Let's just hold your place here, I guess, and go, well, you know, yeah, hold your place there and go to Deuteronomy chapter 8 in the Old Testament. It's old. How old? Very old. Yeah. Chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. And you know, Jesus Christ, I think he quoted Deuteronomy more than any other book of the Old Testament. He knew it inside and out. He knew the scriptures inside and out. In chapter 8, verse 3, it says, and he humbled thee. This is, you know, God speaking by revelation to Moses and Moses to the children of Israel. It says, and he, God, humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only. That man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Okay? God, they suffered hunger and God sent them manna. Well, how did God send them manna?
He's God.
He's God. And how does he do anything? He speaks it into being, doesn't he? You know? He spoke it. You know, he promised that he would feed them. And so they had food. When you think about it, you know, they hungered and thirst for food, but God's word is what gave them the food. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. So we hunger and thirst for many things in life, not just food and drink. And although food is necessary for life, look at the importance that Jesus Christ and God put on the importance of God's word. The importance that we don't live just on food and drink. We have to have the word of God. Every word of God is important. Kind of crazy. No, it's not crazy. It's actually the most sane thing that you can think. Matthew 6, verse 31. Therefore, Jesus Christ again speaking. 6:31. 6:31. Matthew 6:31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall ye be clothed? Those are the basic necessities of life, aren't they? Yeah. Food, drink, clothing. Wherefore, take no thought for why you shall eat or why you shall drink or wherewithal you shall be clothed. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. They seek. They desire. They, you know, that's what life is all about. I was thinking about this, you know. So many people, their whole focus in life is accumulation of goods, accumulation of clothing, of houses, of cars, of TVs, of jewelry, you know, just satisfying the five senses. Yeah, and that's it. That's what they seek after. That's what they pursue. That's what they desire in life. That's it. So he says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. God knows what you need. God knows what you need even before you know it. Right? He knows ahead of time that you're going to need something. He knows, right? Because he's God. He knows. But he says, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Again, righteousness in the sense of what? To do justly, to live justly according to God's word. That's really what it's talking about. Because we already, as believers, born again believers, are righteous before God, right? But that doesn't mean we will live righteously. That doesn't mean we're going to live according to God's standards, God's word. But that's what should be our desire, our hunger and thirst to do. Let's go to Psalm 33. So I'm thinking that the next time you sit down to eat a meal and you thank God for the food, you're going to think about this. Psalm 33, verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right. It's right or upright. And all his words are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of God, of the Lord, of God, of Jehovah. The earth is full of his goodness. So, you know, it's there for us. The goodness of God is everywhere for us. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. You know, how did those guys get the manna? By the breath of his mouth. His word. He declared to Moses and said, tell them what to do and they will be fed. When they needed water, he told Moses what to do. He gave him his word. He said, touch the stone with thy staff, and the water poured out. You know, it was by the word of God. We are to seek the word of God. Man doth not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How cool. Let's go to Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah 15. You'll know this verse right away. It says, verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. This is Jeremiah. God's word was found. You know, they probably weren't readily available at that time because, you know, there was bad kings and bad things going on. But Jeremiah found the word, and he did eat them. And the word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. You know, he found the word, he did eat them, meaning he took them in like it was his necessary food. And he digested them, he held them in his heart. Let's go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 22. This is an interesting thing also that Jesus Christ taught. Let's start in verse 22. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save that one whereunto his disciples were entered, and Jesus that went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. This is after he walked on the water the next morning. And they're looking for him because he didn't go with the disciples. He went up into a mountain to there pray. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, and after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou thither? Now, remember when Jesus Christ, before that happened, the day before, he fed the, I think it was the 4,000. How did he do it? He said to his disciples, you know, what do you got? And they said, well, we got a couple of fishes and some loaves of bread. He said, well, distribute it. And he prayed over it and gave thanks. He prayed to God. And what happened? They collected like 12 baskets full of leftovers. You know, how did that happen? Again, he prayed and God brought it to pass. Crazy. Wonderful. So, where am I? They found him, okay, they found him, Capernaum, verse 25, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, how'd you get here? What's going on? You were on the other side of the sea, your disciples left you. Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. You know, because you got your bellies filled of food. You were hungry and you got your physical need met. He says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. That's what he told them. He said, you know, you work so hard for your physical food. How about working hard to learn about God and to put God in your life? That will last, that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him that hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Wow. You know, believe in Jesus Christ, the Savior. He's the one that God sent to save you. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Wow. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Wow. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all of which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Speaking of the gathering and the resurrections. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Pretty great. What a cool thing. And let's go to John 4, and we'll finish up about eating. Everybody's favorite subject. Verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee, and he must go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, I guess Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, which is what, 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 12? I guess noon. It's noon. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat, you know, buy food. Jesus Christ obviously also had to eat, right? We saw that in Luke chapter 4, when he didn't eat for 40 days, he was hungered. He needed food just like everybody else and drink just like everybody else. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that saith to thee, give me drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto him, whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto or into everlasting life. Pretty cool. Yeah. Let's go to verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed, saying, Master, eat. So he goes through this whole thing with this woman, and, you know, she says, who are you? And he says, I am the Christ, and so on and so forth. So his disciples come back and prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, have any brought him aught to eat? Jesus answered unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. His meat was to do God's will. You know? And in the other place he said, hunger and thirst after righteousness, to live rightly, to do the will of God, to do and live according to God's standard. And that's what it's all about. That's what we should really hunger and thirst for. Certainly we need food and drink. But our greatest need is for the Word of God in our life, to keep it there, to keep it live and vibrant and strong and you know, alive. That's what we need to do. So, Father God, we thank you that you've given us your Word and that we can live by every word that you've given us and that we can make an honest effort to live righteously according to the standards of your word. That's our great desire, that we long to do that. And we just thank you, God, for how you instruct us in your word and show us the great gems and the great joy of the truth of your word, how perfect it is in every way. So we thank you for these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.